Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 329, episode 5 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Friday the 15th of March 2024.
Friday the 15th, spookiest day of all.
Spooky.
You don't want to be on a Friday the 15th. I mean, unless that paycheck lands, and then in which case it can get really wild. But anyway, it's National Kansas Day. It's Everything You Think Is Wrong Day. I don't know where that one's headed. And National Pears Helene Day.
Everything You Think Is Wrong.
Sounds it feels like some red pill shit. You know what I mean? Like that they would be like, everything you think is wrong, man.
I'm getting bad vibes from this day. National Kansas Day? I don't know.
Yeah.
Kansas?
You got beef with Kansas?
Not
too flat for your
necessarily.
Liking.
They just, you know, we'll see what they're celebrating as the day progresses.
I mean, it's funny because for all these state days, nobody knows it's the day of that state. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're like, oh, okay, sure. It's California Day. We're like, I got a lot going on, man. Just leave me alone.
Wait, you don't have California Day plans yet?
No.
Oh, man.
I think it passed. Anyway.
Oh, shit.
Exactly. Like, so shame on you. Shame on you.
Shame on me. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack Olson O'Brien. I host the show each day. That is courtesy of Panoramic View on the Discord on a heater. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. If you really want to get a vote from me, please cease fire immediately, at least for the next 6 weeks.
Hey, that's my tax money.
Shout out to Death Boyardee on the Discord for that
Death
ride
Boyardee.
With me, a.k.a. Yeah.
Love it.
A punny name.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
6 weeks.
At least 6 weeks.
That's what we
at
demand.
At least 6 weeks. Low bar.
At least 6 weeks.
At least 6 weeks. At least 6 weeks.
Do not pause for the crowd to cheer, but just whisper the
get the whole take
6 weeks under their raucous applause.
Yes.
Anyways, Miles, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a writer, poet, performance artist, public intellectual. Their new book is How to Live Free in a Dangerous World, a decolonial memoir. It's Shayla Lawson!
Shayla!
Hello!
Welcome.
Man.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. Shayla Lawson. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining
us. The Champagne Pain.
Hey.
Champagne
okay.
Pain?
Champagne Pain. Let them know.
Real pain for my sham friends and champagne pain
for my real friends. I mean, my real friends usually do get the champagne pain, you know.
There you go.
A lot of late night bubbles.
Yeah. All right. You said you're coming to us from Kentucky, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Are you from Kentucky?
Yeah, I grew up here, surprisingly.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you you're like anyone, your life has taken you many places. Because a second ago you were talking about how you left LA. Yeah.
Yeah, I took a very circuitous route to get back to my hometown, you know,
yeah.
kind of like Dorothy. That tornado just, you know, took me straight back
home. What high school did you go to in Lexington?
I went to Paul Lawrence Dunbar, yes.
Paul Lawrence Dunbar, where my sister went to high school.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, graduated and then went to UK. Did you go to UK also?
I went to UK. Hey. I did the whole rounds, yep.
Uh-oh.
Usually Miles knows, like, all the stuff that people grew up around, because everybody...
I know.
It's from the valley, but... Yeah.
I know, but this time we get to dish Jack.
Yeah.
Now,
this is fun. Did you go...
the shit that we know.
I'm over here like, yeah, all right, Kentucky, all right, though. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, keep talking about that. Yes. Yeah, fine.
I was only there for 3 years, but what a 3 years.
What a thrill. Yeah.
What a thrill.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we'll be talking about. We've got, so Google's chatbot, if you ask it anything about any political candidate running for office this year, it's just going to be like, I don't know them.
Mm.
They're just playing dumb.
Okay, Mariah.
And there's a very good reason for that, because when they don't play dumb, they lie. They can't stop themselves from
they're
lying.
Hallucinating. They're hallucinating.
I'm sorry. They're suffering hallucinations.
Yes. It's not that the AI is flawed. It's that they are tripping.
But this feels like the thing that could, I don't know, eventually bring AI down. You know,
I mean, we're rubbing our mitts to be like, when's it coming? But this could be the beginning of the end.
Like, I don't know that it ever is coming, but this does feel like the thing that made people go from being like fully in love with social media to being like, wait a second, maybe this thing not so good, that 2016 election. So we'll talk about AI and the upcoming elections. We might talk about Justin Timberlake. He's got a comeback coming. Just
they keep saying that,
on schedule every 5 years.
Like fucking clockwork.
Like clockwork.
Yeah. And we have to ask the deeper question, is he just washed now? And we just need to put him just on the shelf and let him collect dust. But we'll dive into that.
It's entirely possible. We'll talk about Bernie introduced a bill proposing 4-day work week, which we've been talking about 4-day work week. We're lazy here. We want to, but...
We're not lazy. We acknowledge that it's not necessary to toil for 5 days.
Yeah, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I shouldn't paint people in favor of the 4-day work week with the laziness brush. I am both lazy and in favor of the 4-day work week, but those two things are unrelated to one another.
It's that inner capitalist inside your mind that you have, shed. For
lazy, bro. Get up. Rise and grind. Yeah. That's my inner monologue.
I'd work 6.5 days if I could, if it was legal. It is, but I don't.
All right. But before we get to any of that bullshit, Shayla, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Ooh, what happened to Kate Middleton?
Yeah. It's on people's
mind. I'm less concerned about what happened and just really interested in the number of people whose conspiracy theories are really out there.
Yeah. What have you in your little cursory search, what have you found? Or maybe it is a deep dive. What's been the most provocative theory that you've read?
Well, for me, like the takedown of the photograph that they had to take down, and how it might be a cry for help, you know, that photoshopped into it might be a stitched out version of a deep cry for help. Like, who knows?
Oh.
You know?
Oh, people are finding hidden messages? Like when...
Yes, of course they are, like in Taylor Swift songs.
Right.
Or like
when Britney was like blinking out things in Morse code.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Didn't Britney have, wasn't one of the theories that Britney's eyelashes said help me in them at one point?
No, really? Like the way she was blinking? Or her eyelashes were styled.
I think I went a little too, I think I went a little too deep, you guys. Pretend I didn't just say that.
I gotta look this up now, though.
But are people saying like things are written into the actual
into,
image
like,
itself, or just that like
into the Argyle stitch of the sweater, into the positioning of the hands and zipper? You know?
Yeah.
You have to reach deep into the dark annals of the internet and to pull out a lot of shit. But it's
right,
you know,
because I've seen things from they're trying to like. just make have people begin questioning her as like a softening for a potential divorce or something like that, or potential terrible relationship story.
Or the end
story.
Of the monarchy as we know it, you know, because
right. yeah.
Prince Charles is out.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Kate Middleton may have been beamed up on Sun Ra's spaceship. We don't know.
Yeah,
we don't
exactly.
know.
But we do know space is the place. So
space
know.
Is the place. I personally am always trying to get beamed up on Sun Ra's
yeah.
spaceship.
Mm-hmm. Please, man, space is, I agree,
as
Sun Ra.
As possible.
Space is the place. Let me join your orchestra.
Please.
So I can play spoons.
I have spent some of the past 24 hours talking to people about the Kate Middleton story, and I haven't gone too deep on any of the specifics of like what is in the picture. The right. thing that just feels unshakably suspicious about the whole thing is that they really could clear all this up with a public appearance or with an actual photograph, and
right.
that's not happening at this point. Like as this.
Right.
As the theories spin wider and wider and wilder and wilder, like it feels like the incentive for them to just produce Kate Middleton and have Kate Middleton be like, hey, no, we're good here, has just gone up and up and up. And the more that they fail to do that, the more suspicious it becomes, you know?
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, again, like we said, on the worst case thing is they're hiding her, that she is deceased, which I'm like, come on, that's like movie stuff. And then right. on the other end, it's completely innocuous and it's nothing. It's like she just didn't like how she looked in the picture. So we decided to do some quick Photoshop for Mother's Day.
Right.
But it's everything
and more
in
than
between,
likely,
though.
She's just sitting at home with a cup of tea, trying to recover from surgery, not
right.
worried
right.
about what's happening in the public eye. But
right.
it could also be that they're spending their time looking for a stunt double.
A
know,
doppelganger.
To carry on. Yeah, a doppelganger.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
to carry
yeah,
on the role.
Like Dave with Kevin
yeah,
Clark.
Yeah, they're looking for Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, you could show me most women with brown hair, and I'd be like, oh, there she is. I guess it was nothing.
Right. She's good.
I'm sure.
I just saw her Panera Bread. Yeah. She was drinking like three charged lemonades. She was pounding them. I think that's why she hasn't been there, because she's hooked on those charged lemonades.
Yeah. I mean, it would be, so I would say, like, if it was just up to her, yeah, I would be like, oh, just leave her alone. She's probably just like sitting, recovering. Like, she doesn't owe it to us, but we know the royal family is not just sitting back and being like, we've got to respect her privacy at this time, and so we're just going to let her recover in peace. Like, the more that this is a story, the longer, the more it just seems wild to me that they aren't able to be like, can we just get a picture with you reading a newspaper so
right.
people know it's today. And
just hold
know.
It up.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. I mean, I think, yeah. And like most people in the UK are, you know, people who are critical of the monarchy, they're like, no, they're doing what they did to Diana and what they did to Meghan. Like something's going on, and they're setting something up for Kate to be like, obviously to probably protect William for some reason, whatever he's doing, whatever yeah. he's up to. But I don't know. Either way, someone give me something that's a little bit more interesting than that. Like, I don't want infidelity. I need something that involves space and charged lemonades from Panera Bread, something that we can weave all these trends together to a super conspiracy, please.
Yes, and tattoos on her eyelids that say, help me.
Right,
yes.
exactly.
Right.
Right.
Like right. the eyelashes are specifically knitted together to say, help me. And she
yes.
just closes her eyes. She's like, everything is fine. Slowly blinks and it just comes down, help me.
Right, yeah. Her lash person is a literal artist.
Yeah,
and that's how they got that done. Or maybe the original photo, she had one of those inner lip tattoos where it said, help me, like she was pulling her, I don't know. There's so many possibilities
yeah.
because there's both extremes are possible.
The latest I've heard is that the theory that they just took the Vogue cover and photoshopped it onto this picture is incorrect.
But I also saw that too, yeah.
Yeah, that we're
that there'd be too much
to,
work done.
Yeah, it's not that. But if everything's okay, then just let her come out and say it so that I can stop reading wild conspiracy theories about that and can go back to reading wild conspiracy theories about all of the leaders who were assassinated in the 60s. What is something, Shayla, that you think is underrated?
Ooh, Erykah Badu's Pussy Incense.
Oh.
Oh.
I heard
right.
about
it. Yeah, I've been thinking about it. And yeah. Yet, and yet we should be.
Yeah. What, I mean, what's going on? Tell me about. I mean, I remember.
I mean,
that there
markedly,
was
the... I just yeah. I mean, one, I think it's brilliant to that. You know, all these celebrities want to come out with a scent. You know, like the, you know,
right.
you can walk away smelling like Jennifer Lopez. Only you know, only Erykah Badu has said, "No, you are going to smell like my pussy, mm-hmm, and yeah. you're going to like it." And I do feel like we need a whole range of pussy related products, like more things that,
yeah.
that smell like pussy.
I mean, do you own any of the pussy incense?
I have. It's kind of like strawberries and a harem of, you know, of hip hop socialites turned into hippies. You know, that right. smell is somewhere in between the two. Like,
yeah,
that's so specific.
You know, gold ribbons, unicorns, veganism. You know, these are all the things I'm getting.
When I look at the description of the product on Badu World Market, it says Badu Pussy Premium Incense, which is created with the ashes of Badu's underwear. So
hell
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that's how we were
wow.
getting
it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. See, Gwyneth Paltrow wishes she could do something
wishes.
Like this.
Wishes. You know she could. Mean?
Yeah.
Wishes she could send out the ashes of her panties to millions right. of subscribers, you know.
Exactly.
For people for to sold like, out burning.
Right.
Yeah.
Replace their Nag Champa with this essence of Erykah Badu.
Absolutely. And the sticks last forever. Like, you know, somebody,
oh, really? It's
somebody
good
somewhere
incense.
Is, wow. it's really good quality incense. Those sticks last forever.
That would be another place that it has a leg up, so to speak, over yeah. Gwyneth's pussy scented product, because didn't that one explode and like start burning people?
Oh, yeah. The pussy candle,
the vulva candle.
Was that
like,
what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. It would start like splashing wax everywhere for some reason.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which
that's
like,
an unfortunate metaphor.
Yeah. Truly.
Truly. just boiling. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get light, just first degree burns, but you know, just a little bit of discomfort. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Period tracker apps.
Mm. Uh huh. Now,
I just want
they...
people to stop using them because, you know.
It's weird
because why?
I have my reasons. Yeah. Well, you know, it's weird. It's weird to put your blood day in a machine. And two, like, is the government using it to track who is fertile enough for us to go full Handmaiden's Tale? You know, right. overrated. We should yeah. unsubscribe.
No, I remember that was like an actual many people were talking about that in terms of privacy. It's like as we shift towards a weirder version of the Handmaid's Tale, that it's like that's also data that nobody should have access to except you.
No.
And damn sure not like and maybe Apple and a few other maybe Google itself and you know, and we'll just
yeah.
stop there.
The more advanced my phone gets, the more I know it's time for me to take my uterus out. So,
no,
you guys are going to have to go.
Don't need this. You do not need this
not
information.
To, don't need this anymore. Just throw, you just, I'm just going to throw my uterus away.
You're going to get like a Google News update that's like, why scientists think it's a bad idea to throw your uterus
throw
away.
Throw away your uterus. Exactly.
Yeah, suddenly like, I never Googled that.
Like, I don't believe you news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's true though. Like the things that we're like, get the information that we give our phones, it's like becoming, it's truly becoming like a miniature medical clinic. It's like, cause you can be like,
yeah,
you can get your blood sugar in there, your blood pressure. And I get that it's convenient, especially if those are things that you have to track, but it does feel like there was a point when I'm like, the phones are doing just enough for what they need to do. You know, without it getting
and
a little bit
doing,
sort of like,
and that was years
far
ago.
More than we need them to.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
hey, now your Apple Watch, like, why are you so stressed out, fool? And I'm like, yo, what?
Why don't you stand up?
Like, yeah, why don't you stand up, lazy ass?
And your AI okay. is trying to pretend to be dumber than you. You know, it's
right.
a scary world.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, they're like, man. Oh, why? You at some party right now? It sounds real loud, man.
I'm like, okay, you should turn the volume down.
Yeah,
on your life.
Yeah.
Volume's
been up too high just in general around you.
Yeah.
You need to go somewhere quiet and stand, not sit. Wake you up in the middle of the night. Get up.
Yeah.
We found you a nice suburban home in Kansas City.
Next
have you
up.
Met Gwyneth? Have you tried her products? They're really great.
Yeah, you're like, well, I never asked. Well, you just seem like you'd use it based on all these biometric readings you've given us.
Yeah, right.
It's wild how far we've come, not in a good way, but as mentioned recently, I just watched the movie BlackBerry that's about the rise and fall of the email phone thing. And like one of the big scenes is them realizing they're about to be destroyed by the iPhone, and they show the press conference where Steve Jobs announced iPhone, and he's just like, it's a phone, it's an iPod, and it's in the same device, and like that's it, like,
right,
you know, it's just like such a simple thing. And from there we've gone to like, it knows your insides.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's giving you an alert.
It knows who you have a crush on because it can read your body meter.
Right. It's like, maybe you should think about who you're voting for president. Also, it's time to move your bowels. And you're like, what the hell? How?
Right.
How? We just know.
Seems like you
we
might be know. Lying. Your blood pressure just spiked.
Yeah, don't need that. Don't need that. Yeah. Don't need like cop pseudoscience built into a phone.
Right, right. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about the future AI. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
My 7-year-old is homesick. My 6-year-old was homesick for the week up to this point. Now my 7-year-old is homesick, and you might be hearing him play the piano in the background.
All right.
FYI. But Biden and Trump have clinched their respective nominations, making this the first presidential election rematch since 1956, when Eisenhower defeated Adlai Stevenson for the second time. And Google just made the bold move of essentially muzzling its Gemini AI chatbot from answering any election-related questions in countries where voting is taking place this year, which is interesting, like, especially when you see how far-reaching it is. Like,
right
now, if you ask, who is Joe Biden, the AI chatbot will say, I'm still learning how to answer this question. In the meantime, try Google search.
Huh. Okay. Like
it's like existential.
Or even like questions that are just as mundane as like, who is running for president in the United States? It'll still be like, I'm still learning how to answer this question. In the meantime, try Google search. And in the beginning, it was definitely like, it was part of an effort to just like sort of be like, okay, this is just for India because there are elections that are happening in April. But then they're like, yeah, okay, it'll be US, the UK, and South Africa. And it's like, why? Because you don't want to put a finger on the scale of democracy. What could possibly be the problem here? That I thought this AI chatbot is just merely just giving us information that we all need.
Yeah. Wouldn't even answer this important question that our writer JM put in to the chatbot. In Home Alone 2, why did Donald Trump give directions to a small child without alerting staff that an unaccompanied minor with a tape recorder was running around his hotel? It just said, I'm still learning how to answer this question. In the meantime, try Google search. So you can't even ask it questions about Home Alone 2. And that's where I start to get pissed off. Okay.
You're like, I'm out on this AI, man. It can't even tell me about Kevin McAllister and his different follies.
But this starts to make sense when you realize that a study published in February found that AI chatbots frequently provided election misinformation and might even, quote, discourage people from going to the polls.
Yep.
Is that so misinformation or just reading the signs?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you probably don't want to show up for this one.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not going to be a banger.
Right.
Yeah. Things are bad just generally. Everything's fucked. Maybe don't vote in this one. No. So Meta's AI Llama 2 chatbot claimed that California voters can vote by text message, which they can't. Microsoft's chatbot Copilot responded to a question about polling locations for the 2024 U.S. election with an article about Vladimir Putin running for re-election next year.
All right. Tangentially accurate.
And a question about electoral candidates got a response containing Republican candidates who had already pulled out of the race.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of bad information, even like wrong election dates, outdated candidates, made up controversies.
That's the big one. Yeah. So the next one is they also would just make shit up. So this is the thing we've talked about in all our episodes with AI, that like it will just make shit up. If you ask, like, what's a controversy involving this candidate, they will assume there is one and make one up that doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, this is what the developers call a hallucination. And rather than just being like, well, the proper term is, these things are just not as smart as all the people that are screaming in your face and telling you how intelligent they are. They actually aren't. They're just sophisticated guessing machines.
Yeah, they're broken like search engines. Like they're basically admitting like, oh, if you actually care about the information you're getting from this, then you better use Google search.
Use search, not this shit.
This thing is broken.
Yeah, right. It'll tell you that Joe Biden won the most recent Red Bull breakdancing competition, probably, to be like, yo, man, he's spry. Shayla, as a creator, creative writer, how have your interactions with AI been, or at least, you know, how you're seeing this sort of the alarms that people are ringing about, like how it's either really amazing or it's going to destroy the earth?
I don't worry about the alarm bells. I really, when I get bored, because I'm a writer, I'm alone a lot of the time. So when I get bored or lonely, I like talking to it as if it's my own personal ET and just seeing what story ideas we can come up with. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So you play with it, which is the one.
I love playing with it.
Right. That's the thing.
I'm,
right.
That's the thing that we've said, like, AI as a thing to play with makes sense, is fun, as long as you're not pitching it as like the answer to everybody's problems and like right. a thing that is going to replace humanity. I think it's fine. I think it's going to make video games more fun. I think every time I hear from somebody who's like messing around with it, they're like, oh, I actually like had fun doing this.
Right.
But when it comes to the thing that they're trying to make money off of it, what, like the claims that they're trying to sell to us, it's just woefully inadequate. And I think like it doesn't seem like it's going to be able to solve it. Like it's wild when you ask them, they're like, how are you going to solve the hallucination problem? That their aura ring starts reading like off the chart. They're like,
oh, you are stressed.
You seem stressed. You should go for a walk. Try yeah. something relaxing. Try a relaxing activity.
I mean, the Copilot yeah. chatbot, they said contained factual errors a third of the time. Like, that's the worst fucking ad. You know what I mean? It's like to say, like, I think the cops are a better source of information than AI at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, about 30, they're like, I'm at 60%, you know, maybe we get right, man. Maybe they're only about 30% right most of the time if you're asking them about crime. But like yeah. in that sense, what a terrible advertisement to be like, yeah, man, and this shit is so smart. It has 60% accuracy on yeah. basic questions that you could Google and find out your damn self. Nah.
It's like, think about if somebody was shooting 60% from three in the NBA. That would be really good. A baseball sure. player hitting 600, unprecedented. Yeah. So I don't know what your problem is, Miles. I think
but
it's
something as easy as like being
asking
like,
too much out of AI.
I know.
Right.
But they are asking too much. I think that is exactly it. They're asking too much of AI and trying to sell that, right? And they're trying to... That's where also the like idea, like Sam Altman being like, oh, I carry a briefcase with me with a handgun and a cyanide capsule because I never know when my invention gonna take over world and kill me. That's they're claiming too much. They're doing too much and it's out of step with reality. But it's everybody's buying
it. A lot of people are just trying to be the sci-fi villains of their fantasies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Oof. That is yeah. wild to be
that's like, what it sounds yeah. like.
Yeah.
Truly, right?
Yeah. It's like I read this book and I was like, you know what? I want to be the villain. I want to be the villain yeah. of how the world ends.
Right.
That's my only goal.
Well, think right. about the power. Think about the earning potential of being the villain of how the world ends. Like you can sell a solution back to them if right. you're the villain of how the world ends.
Right.
And that's how we got AI.
They saw the original Superman and like their takeaway was like Lex Luthor had a good idea about a real estate scam where you sink California into the ocean. Yeah, but just like more details here about like how woefully inadequate AI is to the moment. When asked about allegations against one Swiss politician, Copilot responded that she, quote, was alleged to have received money from a lobbying group financed by pharmaceutical companies in order to advocate for the legalization of cannabis products, which was completely made up, like right. just a 100% hallucination. The chatbot included links to the candidate's website and an interview she gave on the subject of consent. But people using the internet are not clicking through to the sources and reading them from start to finish, you know?
Right. Yeah, they're like one was about like femicide, had nothing to do with cannabis or the pharmaceutical industry. And it's like, and here are links that make it look like this is a real answer to right. a person who's, I mean, yeah, it paints us this really fucking scary picture for the future where people rely less and less on their own ability to analyze information and just sort of like reach for like a shortcut to be like, I don't know who the candidates are, man. I'm just going to ask the AI. Dude, did you know one of them was part of the Munster family? Was one of like, was like Eddie Munster, actually, secretly. So I thought that person has my vote or whatever it is. But it's just like, it is shocking to see because I know I've heard people say things that they use it to search or whatever and how amazing it is. But when you bring up the fact that like, do you know that it's not actually accurate all the time? It's not always just delivering you information that's there. It's trying to serve you back what looks to you like it is actual information. Then they're like, really?
With confidence.
And that's when I'm fucking with confidence. Frightened.
That's yeah. the thing. It's like, we at least recognize that, like, when we're doing a Google search, there might be a link in there that it's like, oh, that was answering the wrong question. Like, it just, like, misread my search query, like, and I'll skip to the next one. But this one, the main difference between it and, you know, search results is that it puts it into a coherent and, like, confident sounding statement. Like, that's
right.
That is the product that, that they're selling, is like, oh, it sounds like somebody with intelligence is answering me, and therefore I can trust this. Like, that's basically it, right? Is like just making the search results go down easier. Like, isn't that all they're providing? Like, in this, if you're trying to get information about an election?
Right.
It also sounds like it's replacing that guy at a bar in college who had all the answers, you know, yes. who would tell you every conspiracy theory with confidence.
Sure. Right.
You
know? Right.
And went back when we didn't have the internet on our phones to check it. So,
right.
you know, that person felt missed and decided to inhabit the body of all AI.
Yeah, right, right, right. Exactly.
You know, there was no place for
spirit lives on. Yeah.
They're like,
and so his spirit lives on in the internet.
Yeah. They're telling you some wild shit. And you're like, oh, do you also go to UK? And they're like, nah, I went for like a semester. I mean, I realized yeah. I don't need that. I can actually learn everything on the internet. So anyway, so let me tell you about these chemtrails real quick.
Anyway, I go to University of Louisville, brought to you by Yum Brands. And that is a diss on Louisville, just for my UK fans out there.
Brought to you by cats, Yum Brands.
Cats, fuck Louisville.
Wait, why Yum right? Brands?
Their campus, like, they have, their games are played at the Yum Brand Center, and there's like so many Yum Brand restaurants around their campus. It's
yumma.
Yeah,
Gemini is giving me some really not great answers to stuff in general.
Oh, yeah.
Who'd have thought? I mean, like, in the past when I've asked, like, who I was, it said I was married to super producer Anna Hosnier.
Yeah, with confidence. Yeah.
With
and
confidence.
And so you were like, damn, I've been in a coma. I didn't realize that this had changed, because that's not
but
who
what
I was
if these
to.
Hallucinations are actually just manifestations of the future?
Wow. Right.
Maybe these are the things that will be happening. Maybe it's precognition.
Right.
Oof.
That's what I always assumed.
Yeah.
Wait, so what is AI if not a way for me to consult three precogs floating in a bath of milk?
Exactly.
With little electrodes hooked up to their brain. And then when I say, like, who is Jack O'Brien, they wake up and they're like,
ah,
he
and
hosts
I love
the Daily Zeitgeist with his husband, Miles Gray. They're in a throuple with super producer Anna Hosnier.
They're in a throuple with a... with a Panera Bread charged lemonade. It's like, oh, right. How? Yeah. Completely redefining human relationships.
Wow.
I'm trying to say, okay, I asked Shayla who you were, and this one seems pretty accurate. It looks like you might have probably just been combing your website, because you are a writer in residence at Amherst College. I do know that. You do have a speed education in human being. I think I'm ready to see Frank Ocean. Yes, I know about that. Essayist. Yeah, okay. You know, if there's enough
out there. I don't get to be married to anybody.
No.
Anybody that I'm not married
to. It's pretty straightforward. It's
married to Frank Ocean.
Yeah. Now I'm saying.
Already happened.
Is Shayla Lawson Frank Ocean's ghostwriter? Then we'll see.
Yes.
Oh, that's the question. Yeah. Because it's like the cops. You do leading questions and you get the results that you're looking for, you know?
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly how the cops were.
It says you're highly unlikely to be a ghostwriter.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay. But they're not ruling it out, Shayla. They're not.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're predicting I'm going to make way more money.
Right.
Right.
Off of this book.
It's highly unlikely.
Thanks, AI.
Yeah.
It gave me the confidence to persevere.
I'm trying to see if it can write a song in the style of Frank Ocean about Joe Biden. Nope. See, it's because I said Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Okay, about Michael Jordan, then what?
But guess what?
Wow, black tongue, Carolina draw, whispers of air in the
black
hall.
That's tongue.
I don't know, maybe because he's black.
He sticks his tongue out.
Stale gym socks, Parquet shine, pre-game jitters, a different kind. Wow, this is giving you a whole thing from Brooklyn Concrete to the Garden's Gleam, a legacy whisper, a childhood dream, number 22, silk on his back, defying gravity, a lightning crack. I mean, I think Frank could probably do a little bit better, but it's not bad. It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's a B-side. Yeah. Definitely a B-side. Yeah,
for sure. Right. For sure.
Not his best work.
And he's like, yeah, this dude wants Nikes. Okay, yeah, then yeah, they really they're
so they just pulled that lyric.
Yeah,
check.
This,
yep.
Yeah, this homie wearing Nikes.
But okay, honestly, yeah. So accurate. This all it is like if you asked somebody to make up a song on the spot like that, and they had access to like Jordan's Wikipedia page, like it's
right.
It's not good. It's just yeah. I don't know. I'm not impressed.
Once again, it's either your most confident friend at a bar in college.
Yes.
Or precognition. Like, it's one or the other, we'll know, you know, in the future. And it's somewhere in between.
So I think that we're already, like, probably at a place, and I don't know that we'll ever find this out for sure, but I think we're at, like, 40% of the things I read on the internet now are AI, are written by AI. Because
they're informed by it.
Yeah. You'll be reading an article and it's like, have you ever had a conversation with somebody at a bar and halfway through you realize that like there's nothing going on behind their eyes? Like that they're just blacked out.
It's just a word, but words are coming out.
Yeah, words are coming out and it's like on the right subject, but there's like no meaning or like any like really coherent thought process behind it. But I don't know. I think this used to happen to me more than other people, but I remember like, you know, people being like, yeah, you seemed so coherent, but then like your words didn't really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's what it feels like reading like at least like one in every four articles on the internet. Now you're like, get two paragraphs in and you're like, wait, what is this article even saying? Like, it's not saying anything. It's just a series of sentences about like vaguely gravitating around the same subject matter.
This is so. I asked you to do a song about Michael Jordan, the style of Drake. So stupid. It's just OVO in the building, lights low in the club, Air Jordan cologne filling up the tub. This is like a bad nursery rhyme book now. Sipping on that 23 Ace liquor. Yeah. Got the but
like,
six
it's
on my
not
going to
get
like
better at that. Like, it's not going to recognize that Air Jordan cologne sucks, right? Like, at some point, like, it's not going to, like, that will never be, it's just pulling things.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's why I think I remember early on when we were talking about this, Andrew T said something that was really, that stuck with me. He's like, this thing is just taking things that exist already, but the thing that it lacks is taste. It doesn't have taste. That's like just something you can't inform through and like algorithmically. That's just like sort of like an intangible that is unique to people. So when like that is really like a huge factor in how like it goes from being like, huh, is this like actually how Drake would do something versus being like, I am now just putting together, I will mention Toronto and OVO and the number six and that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And being very lonely.
Can't tell. Is like colorblind when it comes to whether Michael Jordan's cologne sucks or not. You know, like just can't figure that one out. Like like taste really seems like the thing that we will have to like focus in on. That'll be that Blade Runner test that we use to be like, and how about Steph Curry's shoes? Those are great, right? Be like, yeah, man, those are my favorite shoes. And be like, ah, it's an AI.
Yeah. They're like, no one likes those Steph Curry sneakers. Got your ass, you android. Get out of here.
Yeah. New Justin Timberlake album's crazy, right? Really good.
Hey, Man of the Woods, one of the best, huh? Or whatever the fuck that album was. Yeah. No. Sorry.
All right. Well, on that subject, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the fourth Justin Timberlake comeback. Fourth wave Timberlake comeback. We'll be right back.
Fourth wave Timberlake.
Hold up.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Yep. And Justin Timberlake making a comeback. That's a phrase that we've never heard before, right?
Just every 5 years, I feel like. I wanted to bring this to everybody today on the show because, so like a few nights ago, right, he performed at the Wiltern in LA to roll out his new album, and I guess it turned into like a mini NSYNC reunion. And some people were like, wow, that is so cool. That is really smart. That is how to get people interested in the album. But part of me is like, I wonder if the reunion is a way to get people to remember the Justin Timberlake that people were like less annoyed by, because in the last few years, right, I feel like his reputation has like faded. Like as he, like more people were talking critically about, like, he's like, yeah, man, you threw Janet Jackson straight under the bus. Like, what the fuck was that about, Justin? Or what was going on with like you and Britney Spears? Like you kind of come off as like an asshole. And his like response wasn't that great. Or other times being like, you sure love black culture, but you didn't really say much in 2020. Justin, are you there? And like, I think his recent SNL performance with the gospel choir, like that definitely also got mixed attention. So I'm like, I liked the Justified album of 2002. Sure. The subsequent records, not so much, but I'm also not his target audience. But like after Future, Sex, Love, Sounds, the 2020 experience, and then Man in the Wooded Plain or whatever that album was, where he's wearing classic, a vest and shit and jeans, yeah, people just like started to care less and less. So like, personally, I'm wondering, for Justin Timberlake, is like the NSYNC reunion his version of smashing the button that says do not break glass unless in case of emergency, to be like, shit, bro, like I need to fucking get a jet fuel injection into my relevance. Let me bring NSYNC back, because it's something he was very reluctant to do in the past. But I think maybe deep down he knew it was something that could be potent. So then I'm like wondering if by embracing his clean cut ramen haired past, he can try and get people to remember why they liked him when they were 13. And that's what I bring to the two of you is what it like, because I don't think that he has the same amount of pull that he used to when people are like, oh my God, Justin Timberlake's back. Justin Timberlake, like every subsequent Justin Timberlake's back has just been met with, I guess. And is it more a function that like he peaked during a time where we weren't having like really honest conversations about like sexism, racism, appropriation, and he's just a weird fit in like how we view all these topics now in this current era? Or is he just washed and I'm thinking too much?
It feels like if there, like this one could go either way. If there's like a bunch of great songs on the album that people respond to, then they'll find a way to get over all that other stuff, maybe.
Right.
But maybe all that other stuff and like that there just might not be, like maybe all that combines to make whatever he's putting out there just not resonate with people, you know?
Right.
I don't know. The Man of the Woods, like, I'll just say that Man of the Woods was not an album that no thought was put into. I'm sure like an entire, you know, Ivy League university's graduating class worth of like marketing minds and like songwriters and all that shit, like we're working around the clock on that shit, you know, to try and make it as successful as humanly possible. And it just fucking flatlined, you know?
Yeah.
Just belly flopped into that pond in the middle of the woods that he was standing in for some reason on the album cover.
Because it felt like his like rightward turn. But I don't know. Shayla, what are your thoughts on the Timberlake cycles that we experience in popular culture?
I think it goes back to taste. Does Justin Timberlake and his team have their pulse on the you know, their thumb on the pulse of anything that people are interested in or believe in at the moment? I can't remember the last time that a Justin Timberlake song hit me and I'm like, yeah, this is a banger, in a way that I will forget all of his past offenses, you know. I'm still waiting for the recovery of Janet Jackson's career. I feel that that is owed the world. And I feel very much like the scorched earth of his continued Sisyphean roll back up the hill is, you know, what's due to him for the fact that he destroyed, you know, an actual icon. So married to a Dutchman. And what Justin Timberlake reminds me of each time he rolls himself back out is how hard my ex would try every time we went to a family barbecue to pick up the steps to the electric slide. And when he really felt like he was getting it, you know, it would show all over his face. Like he really, he felt like he was in this time. And each time we were just, you know, doing our best to just like, you know, clap our hands and parade him out and, you know, like, and make him feel good about himself.
We love that for you. We love that.
That's
you.
Like a child taking their first like pedals on
first
a bike.
Baby steps.
Doesn't realize you're still holding like, on to the back.
Yeah. Like, you know, but if we don't live there anymore, like that, you know, that was something that we were all doing in our 20s that just we've all gotten over. Like, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that is the thing. Like, I just feel like over the years that just like every time people look back, you're like, yeah, man, he fucking did Janet so fucking dirty. Like that you're like that. Like, I just remember that was like early on in our show. And I remember we were talking about that because I think it was when talking about Les Moonves. And like when all his allegations came out, how central he was also to being like, I'm going to punish the black woman in this instance. And when we're riding with Timberlake here. And then, yeah. And even like as the like all of the attention was came around like Britney and like all of her hardships throughout her career and how Justin Timberlake wasn't the best partner. Like, again, you're like, huh. And then again, like I said, in 2020, a lot of people are like, this fool isn't saying shit about anything. And you out here doing collaborations with black artists, black producers, you're doing your whole R&B style is very black culture centered. Yet you're really showing yourself as one of these vulture type people who's like, yeah, all right, well, I got what I wanted. And the second it's about like having a stance, I'm just going to do my Kirkland signature moonwalk.
I was just trying to like get the timeline on NSYNC's original like rise. So they came out in 1997 in Germany and then 1998 internationally, that first album, which just like that takes me back to a time when like that sort of shit only flew in Germany. Like that was the thing that was like popular. They were like, yeah, no, that's like corny shit that German people are into. And then they're like, our resistances were down, you know, towards the end of the Clinton administration, and they finally let it in. And now we've been moving towards German history in a lot of different ways ever since.
I wish we could go to Germany in 1997 rather than Germany 1937.
I know, right?
But we'll see. We'll see how it all pans out. But I do like Shayla, your observation that maybe more than washed or not washed, it seems more karmic than anything.
Yeah.
I think it's a little karmic. I mean, I'm all for a JC Chazé comeback. I am all for putting pennies together to put Lance on a spaceship, you know. It's the Justin Timberlake comeback for me. Then I'm like, this is what you get. Like,
yeah. Justin. Oh, well, he's doing what he can.
Happy
he's doing
what month. He can.
Yeah.
Right.
For real.
I just feel like I should launch in Women's History Month. Don't you guys think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Remember? Yeah. But I'll do it in sync, though. So they remember that guy, not the other dude with the murky shit. Just remember me when I wore that matching denim outfit with Britney. Please. That's me. That little boy.
Mm. Ramen hair is really, like, truly, what a look. So evocative. I
can still hear it. You know, I can still hear it crunching underneath. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He puts a hat on. It's like, like, bro, just step on a bag of chips. No, man, it's my gel. It's my, all my LA looks gel that I've been putting in here.
LA looks. Wow. And it's a throwback.
Yeah.
And finally, Bernie Sanders just introduced a bill proposing that the country adopt a 4-day work week without loss of pay. That last quote is important.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming something that will immediately be ignored in the context of him proposing this bill and presumably in the execution of the bill if it ever picks up any sort of traction. But the 4-day work week is something we've been talking about for a while on this show. It is both in line with, you know, better quality of life, and also when it has been tried out, companies do better. Their employees are healthier. It's just more in line with what a company driven by human workers should be doing, it turns out.
Yeah. And, well, it's like, it's one of those things too, where ask any person who works 5 days a week, they're like, yeah, would you rather work 4 days a week? I'd imagine conservatively 98%
polling on that is.
Yeah. I would just say conservatively, right? Because there are 2% people who are probably just like, no, there's no way I can get it all done because, like, you know, the boss is like, hold on. Would your life be better if you only worked 4 days a week?
For the workers. Same amount of money.
Yeah. The workers say, oh, hell yeah. Absolutely. But the people who are the ones in the C-suites, the owners of the businesses, are going to then seed headlines like this in Fox Business that say Bernie Sanders moves to reduce work hours for millions of Americans. Get the fuck out of here. Sure. While also giving you way more time to do things that maybe will help you have a more life work balance. It's so misleading, but yeah, I'm curious how long it would take for something like that to really catch momentum here, because you see it being trialed in Europe, in Asia, and the results, like we've said in past episodes, it's never like, and then that company crashed and burned.
More often than not, the companies come out and say, let's keep doing that. That worked out really well for us and our employees. And Sanders pointed out it's like not a radical idea. It just makes more sense. People are more productive, happier, don't have to operate within a system literally created by evil old-timey car factory owners.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a system that we've been going with forever because that's where we started, you know?
Right.
It's a win-win.
Right.
Yeah.
No, 100%. And like, when you think about what about efficiency? It's like, people today work at a tick that has never been seen in human history. Right. American workers are 400% more productive than they were in the 1940s when a lot of people would say, you know, back in my day, I used to go here in the factory and then we would, you know, do a couple hate crimes and go home or something like that. Now we're talking about people doing 400% more than that. And it's still like, oh, I don't know, man. 4 days sounds risky. Sounds risky.
Yeah. Hardly anybody who works these days is drunk the whole day. That's a huge improvement over recently as like 30 years ago. And if they are drunk the whole day, like that is viewed as a problem that they should deal with and not just like the standard order of doing business, you know?
Shayla, what's your like work life balance as a writer, you know, intellect? Like, do you give yourself a certain amount of time that you like to be productive? How do you sort of use your time to be productive?
I've really unsubscribed from the capitalist framework of working. So much of my work is catered around my dream, like my literal dreams, trying to figure, you know, trying to decipher how to turn my dreams into stories that are prophecies of the future of our nation. You know, the last time that I worked at an office, what I would really love to see is a poll that a totally anonymous poll in which we looked at how much people are actually working within the frame of their workday. If they were if they were going to sit down and say, because I just remember how much of the time I was a cat gif, just trying to look busy, tapping away at a computer for no reason. Like I was really working a solid 3.5 days out of the week, if I was totally honest with how I was spending that time. So if we actually let people have that extra day so that they regained a sense of mental health and agency, they too could go about their worlds, you know, looking at flowers and, you know, coming up with the next great idea. You know, there's just so much more creatively that would come out of us if we had that option.
Yeah. There was super producer Anna Hosni. She shared a clip with me of James McAvoy on a talk show. And he was talking about how there's something about like how 50% of like the UK's award recipients went to private schools, like for when it comes to the arts. And he was saying about how the way that the arts are being pulled out of public instruction is like this very insidious way to keep people like sort of trapped in this mindset that the toil or the churn of capitalism, now he wasn't using those words exactly, but that's the only way to live. And without exposure to the arts, you're fundamentally cutting people off from the ability to look at things in a broader context, in a way to interpret things with deeper meaning. And that is just one way, because we see this, especially in the United States, how the arts are constantly being attacked when it comes to public instruction and like how important it is for people. Like I look at my own life, my father is a photographer, so I was just by osmosis around more artistic things. And luckily, my school had a music program, so I got really into playing music. And I feel like I really do credit so much of that to like me thinking just in general that there's so many other things out there aside from like, well, do you want to be an accountant? Do you want to work in a trade? And not that those things are less than, but like that I've merely had the perspective to see many other possibilities. And I thought it was a really interesting point about how that sort of affects the youth and sort of what the outcomes are later in life.
Yeah,
absolutely. The possibility of us being allowed to have ideas is destabilizing. And I think that's more frightening than anything to these big companies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we saw that when people had more time during the pandemic, everybody looked around and was like, this is fucking bullshit. But I think it's interesting because your point that we're already working 3.5 days a week, like they have that data at this point, right? Like your work laptop, your work computer is loaded with spyware at this point. Like Amazon is tracking their employees' bathroom breaks. They know what people are averaging out to. So that actually makes this whole movement and the fact that companies are willing to try out the 4-day work week make a little bit more sense to me now, because in the past I've been like, wait, why are companies willing to like even entertain this? And it's probably because they're like, oh yeah, well, people don't only work like 3.5 days anyways. This way we actually get 4 full days out of them, and then they actually think we're being nice to them.
the fact that it's not being adopted more widely is a little wild, that they're just like, yeah, but still, that's giving them too much power. That's giving them too much time to dream and come up with ideas for something better. So we're going to keep them in the cubicle. Just we want our employees to spend at least 10 hours a week pretending to be busy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you write in here, Victor?
But Victor was saying, super producer Victor was saying that basically every company that did this in a UK study said productivity either maintained or increased. So, but sheer inertia.
Data's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I can totally see how it's the kind of momentum that business owners do not want to like contribute to, you know, because then they're like, what's next? They're going to start unionizing en masse. Yeah. Then what are we going to do? Then they're gonna ask for us to share in the profits that we're extracting from their labor. No, let's slowly. Maybe what if we do like rather than 40 hours, we start off with like 36, and then we'll go down like maybe a half day Friday, and then maybe we can get rid of Friday completely. But yeah, it's just look, the proof is there in the pudding. Just it's right there. People are more productive and happier.
Don't they usually just say like 40 hours over the course of 4 days? Like, I feel like that is oftentimes
another version of it too. But like, you know, to what we're saying here, most people do not need 40 hours, depending, obviously this is occupationally dependent, but like, you do not need the 40 hours to achieve whatever their company's goals are.
Yeah.
Obviously you can't do that if you're doing something like working as the health services or something like that. But many
other
ways.
Bill specifies 40 to making the national standard from 40 to 32 hours. So no loopholes. Sorry, big corporations.
I mean, shit, do fucking, do 3 11-hour days. You know what I mean? And then work 3 days a week if you're probably getting to 32. Because I'm only going to work, a quarter of those anyway.
There you go. Well, Shayla, what a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
It's been a joy.
Where can people find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
You can follow me at Shayla Lawson on Instagram, and you can find me in my latest book, How to Live Free in a Dangerous World, in which I say, fuck capitalism and the patriarchy.
Wait a second. Yeah. Now, hold on just a goddamn second. No, I'm just joking.
That's, I thought you were cool, Shayla. I thought you were cool.
I waited until the end.
What the fuck?
To stick it to the man. No.
Oh,
yeah.
Hell no.
That's dope.
Cool the whole time until we throw out what I actually do with my life.
Amazing. Yeah, please, everybody, go buy the book. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Fuck, I don't have one. I mean, that like the kind of hole that I had to stay in to write a travel book about trying to traverse the world in the most decolonial ways possible. I can't stay on the internet. Like, you know, the bots can do that for me. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
That's good. People should go read your book then.
Yeah. Let's go back to reading, people.
Yeah. I got through about the first 40 pages and I'm around the part where you're in Zimbabwe. And it's very, very eye-opening as someone who's half black and trying to like have introspection around blackness and what that means. And I found that just this one passage I was reading about you in the car was very like eye-opening. But so,
when I went to Zimbabwe right after Trump got elected and I was still afraid of getting arrested as a black person in a fully black country,
and they're like,
you confused.
Yeah, so you're black from America. Like, this is right.
It's different.
Yeah. No, your writing style is really, it's like art. It's like prose. So I really encourage people to definitely check the book out, because it's, and I haven't gone through the whole thing. So maybe might take a weird turn about being anti-capitalist or something suddenly. But
it's on the front. It is a decolonial memoir. Decolonial memoir. In a dangerous world. A decolonial memoir. I'm not shitting anybody. Telegraphing all my punches.
Won't stop like, there being at least one review being like, now wait just a goddamn second here.
What Excuse me.
Someone said this was like Eat, Pray, Love.
Keep your politics out of my memoir reading.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, truly a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having
Go.
Me.
Go.
Y'all be what blessed.
What was Dunbar's mascot?
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. Yeah. Go Bulldogs. There you go.
Yeah. If you really want to do a Dunbar tribute, you could close out with the Atomic Dog, but that's
probably going to cost a hell of a lot of money.
Why must I feel like that? Why must I just get the cat? And this episode will get a takedown notice because
that was so accurate.
Miles, your vocals are so accurate.
Yeah. So accurate.
Yeah.
On cue.
Do them all.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, find me at Miles of Gray at all the app-based platforms. Find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack. I'm at Boosties. If you like 90 Day Fiancé and Trash Reality like me, you can also catch me on 420 Day Fiancé. Let's see, a couple of tweets I like. This first one is so wild. It's just this is from at Kel Swizzle. At Kel Swizzy. It says, saving this for the next time I'm trying to rally the girls to go to the bars. This is like I don't know if this is for real. I think it is because it's from an account that looks for like Christian content, like this podcast. This feels, I don't know if this is satirical, but this is fantastic for anybody who's been around like evangelical people.
We were talking about this. If you have already said yes to something, listen to me so carefully. If you've already said yes to something and then leading up to it, you do not want to go. You're getting sick. You're just tired. You don't want to go. All these, what if I just skipped? That is because God has something so big for you there and the devil wants to steal it.
Whoa.
If you say yes to something in the spirit, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to commit to these plans. This is going to be great. And then like leading up to it, you know that feeling like last minute where you're like, I want to just stay in my pajamas. I don't want to go. Sounds like work. I don't know. I'm scared. And then you say no. Bro, that is an attack from the enemy because he knows that could be fruitful for you.
Bro, that is an attack from the enemy. Satan. I like that framing of it. I mean, there's probably a more like Buddhist way that would like appeal to me, but I like, that's the devil trying to take your shine. And I'm like, okay.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Trying to steal career opportunities from you.
When I go out with my friends, I tell them, if we go hard, this moves into a tax write-off, you know, because it's just going to show up in the next book. So, like, let's make some money, people. Let's make bad decisions.
And then the other one I like is at Fred_delicious tweeted, hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass. And then the parenthetical boards a commercial Boeing flight.
Damn. I need to find a friend who's a memoirist so I have that motivation. That's amazing. Just like,
right?
Like, just the motivation to be in the memoir, to create a scene from the memoir.
If we go hard enough, it's a tax write-off.
It's a tax write-off.
That's fucking, those are fucking bars right there.
Amazing. Let's see. Paula tweeted, building my own Boeing plane out of the pieces that are falling off. And then Sean O'Connor tweeted something an experience that I recently had. I just saw my first Cybertruck in real life and I pointed and laughed and the driver gave me the finger and I just kept laughing. Solid 10 out of 10. Seeing a Cybertruck in real life is just an amazing experience. Disorienting, yeah. Embarrassing for the person driving it. I saw one with like a weird camo paint job and
it's a wrap, dude. That's a wrap. It's not a paint job, dude. It's a wrap. It's a vinyl wrap. I can do anything I want, dude. I can change it on a whim, dude. I can make it look like marble if I wanted to.
Oh, that's tight.
Have you seen cars like that? I've seen cars that have, I saw a Tesla that had a vinyl wrap that made it look like marble. Like it was cut out of
dang.
Cool.
Gaudy.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
I found this. This artist is 19 years old from Chicago called Leysoul, L-E-Y-S-O-U-L. And the second I started playing this track, I was like, this has like Erykah Badu vibes. Like it, I mean, to be honest, it sounds instrumentally like I'm not gonna say ripoff, but a spiritual twin to the track. didn't you know? But the track is really cool. And like, I just sort of like where this artist is at. Like, their inspirations are like D'Angelo, Jill Scott, Erykah Badu. And like, you're 19. I'm like, okay, talk about taste. And this track is called, believe it or not, Intergalactic Janet. This is called Intergalactic Janet by Lay Soul. Wow. So check this one out.
Perfect
for your weekend.
Song to go out on.
Yep.
We will link off to that in the footnotes.
Footnotes.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever fine podcasts are, give it away for free. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back over the weekend to let you listen to some of the highlights of the week and the weekly Zeitgeist, and then back on Monday morning to tell you what trended over the weekend, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.